Coming from the Caveman Studios in Buffalo, New York, welcome to Caveman Corner with your host, Jeff.
Captain Caveman!
Thanks.
Click subscribe and the bell. Do it now!
I'm here with the one, the only, Zach Cheek. How are you doing, man?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Great. You're a K4 veteran, dude. You had an awesome fight against, I think he might be the toughest guy in K4 history, and Travis Ruvalo. You guys had a good battle. He dropped you in the opening segments of the fight. You came back and you stopped him. What did that win mean to you? And tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, man. So that debut with Travis, that was, I think, a really good fight for me to have under my belt because, you know, coming in, I actually got the fight on 10-day notice and they're like, you want to fight like next week? And I was like, all right, sure. I'm the type of person where I don't really ask any questions. I'll just go in, I'll fight the person. And then, you know, the fight before mine was the one where he was stuck in that Kimura for like 2 minutes or something. So yeah. I'm in my head, I'm like mentally preparing. I'm like, yeah, this fight's probably going to be a war. Like I got mentally prepared for like 3 rounds of just like, cause I'm like, if this dude's not tapping into that, like it's probably going to be hard to get him out of there. So,
yeah,
I mean, props to him. Yeah. He hit me with a good shot. I'm not going to lie. I just feel like that shot, like props to him. It's like, it's been overtaking the fight. That's what anybody, when they mention that fight, is what they talk about. But I take nothing away from him at the end of the day. So I hope to see him back in there, keep going. Oh, he has had another tough fight. So, no, I hope he does well, too. I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, I just want to apologize for being, like, rooting for him. Like, I mean, I don't know you. I've watched him fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I want him to win so bad. Like, I just watch his heart, dude. I want him to win. And, like, I don't, no bad blood between you. I didn't even really know you. I know that you fight at Keith's brother, Jim, so I want you to win too, obviously. But man, Travis really needs to win. And he was scheduled, he had a lot easier fight, and he ended up with you, dude. So that sucked for him too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and I understand that, man, completely. I ain't take nothing personal. I'm like, okay, they're going to be cheering for the Buffalo guys or New York guys in general up there anyway. So it's like, I ain't take nothing away from that. Yeah, man, I hope he does well. He's been getting tough fight after tough fight, and it's like, you know, his record might show like he's 0-5 or whatever he is now, but it's just like, you know, you can't really take nothing away from that when he really hasn't, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, he's only had tough fights, so it's like, we're going to judge him off that. Like, I know, you know, I'm not some people talking crazy about him, you know who I'm talking about, like saying like, yeah, oh, you get dropped by Travis. Like, what does that make you? It's like, you know, why don't you go fight him then? We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I would love to see Travis fight Skyler in a kickboxing match. 1,000%, man. I think that would be great. I think Skyler would be able to take him down. You know, Skyler's got to be able to wrestle and probably just stall on the top. Like, I'm not sure Skyler can submit Travis, dude. That dude is like, there's something special about him, man. Like, his heart is just, that you were able to stop him, like, says a lot about you, dude. Like, that Kimura that he was in was so terrible. Like, I can't believe the referee didn't stop. If I was a ref, I'd be like, man, I'm stopping this. It looked terrible. And he's just like, yeah, whatever, giving a thumbs up. And you went in there and you beat him, dude. I really respect that. I do have to ask you about the shot. How much did it stun you? And obviously, you know, there's no ground and pound, so you don't have to worry about follow-up. Do you think that would have been different if there was ground and pound?
All right, yeah, no, okay. Here's my thing about the whole situation. So, I mean, it was a good shot. You know, he got me, but there was not one moment, this is just me being completely honest, where I felt like I was dazed or confused or out of the fight. Like, when I hit the ground, I feel like I watched it back, and honestly, it's like he had a lot of forward pressure while he was hitting me. So I think it was a mixture of, like, it was a good shot. I'm not taking anything away from it, but I also feel like I was a little bit off balance. You see, like, when I hit the ground, I immediately, like, tie up with him. And I mean, in my personal opinion, humbly, I feel like ground and pound would have been a way bigger advantage for me in that fight because I took him down 3 times, you know, not much resistance with that. I had his back for about 2.5 minutes. So I feel like I could have got the fight. You know, I could have gotten him out there a lot quicker if I had ground and pound personally. I didn't really get the feeling, you know, he wanted to be on the ground with me, which makes sense because he was having good success on the feet. So that was smart game plan from him. I'm not taking anything away from that. I just feel like the ground and pound thing, that would have been better for me. Like, when I got up from the shot, I wasn't like on shaky legs or I wasn't like out of there. I went right back into fighting. So that's just my take on the whole thing.
Yeah. So I didn't think that you were like out. Like, I didn't think you'd get finished because of that. But here's the thing I'm talking about, because like, either like you fell or you got knocked down in that position, and he's on top, but he doesn't really have jiu-jitsu skill. You know what I mean? So he has no way to take advantage of that spot. So no offense to Travis. Like, I know, like, I'm sure he trains jiu-jitsu, but like, obviously you're better on the floor than him. So like, he had no way to equalize it and even like bring the feet, fight back up to the feet, you know? So when he's with you, maybe he gets a couple strikes and he stands up and it gets back to the feet instead of like ending up into a grappling exchange. That's all I was thinking. I wasn't thinking like he just comes down and finishes you. I'm just thinking like it's a tool in his weapon to get up there, maybe take advantage of that hurt.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, at the end of the day, I just think the ground pound rules would have worked better for me in that fight. I think I would have been, even in the first round when I was getting him down, you know, I could have been working some shots in there too. So.
No, I totally understand about the rest of the fight. I just mean that, like, that snippet of the fight.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love Travis to death, but obviously he needs to work on the ground aspect of the game. And, like, obviously every well-rounded fighter is going to beat him until his jiu-jitsu is equal to his toughness. And, like, that it doesn't matter how tough you are. His stand-up is good. Like, I honestly thought he should fight kickboxing. I'd love to see him fight Skylar and beat Skylar up. Speaking of Skylar, that's the man you're scheduled to fight, and what do you know about him?
Yes, sir. I mean, I do my research on all my opponents, of course, so I went back on YouTube. I watched all of his fights, and I mean, I just know he's from Indiana, I believe. Not sure where exactly. He has a small gym out there he trains at, and I mean, from his fights, the one thing I will give him is that, you know, he seems game. He goes in there and he tries to throw hard shots. He tries to take his opponent out. But I think technically there's still a lot of things he can improve on from what I'm seeing. But I mean, the thing about fighting is we're all getting better, right? So the last time he fought MMA was what, like October of last year? So I'm assuming within that time period, he's been training and he's been getting better. That's all I can think of. So I'm going in there and I'm expecting the best version of him for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I seen his fought since then. I know he withdrew from that fight due to injury, but it looked like he was not having much success escaping the ground anyways. I don't think whether he was injured or not, that really had any bearing on the end of the fight. I mean, Josh was reeled up. He's ready to strike. What do you think about his ground game? Do you think you're going to be able to handle everything he's got?
Hey, I'm just being completely honest. I see a lot of holes. Like, he does a lot of things incorrectly on the ground, like in jiu-jitsu terms. Like, a lot of – when he's in a certain positions, he does a lot of things you're not supposed to do that I can capitalize on. So I hope he fixes it. I hope, you know – well, from what I'm seeing, it doesn't end quickly like that, because at the end of the day, I'm still an amateur. This is going to be my second fight. Like, you know, the more mat time, the better. The more experience I can get, the better. But, yeah, no, I definitely seen a lot of holes in his jiu-jitsu game. And, yeah, speaking about that fight where he had with Josh, that was just weird. I watched that replay, like, 5-6 times. I don't know how he hurt his knee on that. Like,
yeah.
He took a fight 2 months later too. I think he took like a kickboxing fight like 2 months later too. So I mean, the injury must not have been that crazy. That was just a weird fight. I think personally, you know, that they were talking a lot of stuff back and forth from what I saw, and I don't know, man. I think Josh is just the way better fighter, and I think he realized when he was on the ground that it wasn't going to go his way. And but, yeah. You know, I'm not, if injuries happen, maybe it's something I couldn't see, but that was just a weird fight from the looks of it.
Yeah, like, so that whole grappling change happened. He said he was going to stand on the feet. He went right for the takedown, or him and Josh both grappled. Josh ended up on top. He's in mounted position. As soon as Josh cleared his hands to strike, that's when Skylar tapped. Like, to me, like, whether you're injured or not, like you can like try and get out of there, talk all that shit. Like it's tough
That's
to
what
tap
I'm
right
saying.
when
Yeah.
your arms go free, you know.
That's what I'm saying. That's what, but hey.
So if I was Skyler, this fight now would be like so important to me. Like there's no way I would come in and shortchange or something. You talk all that shit and you lost. Now you gotta come back and you gotta like save face. So hopefully he is the very best Skyler in the theory, and then you guys can have one of the best fights in K4 history.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm hoping, man. It's like, you know, the thing is he's talking crazy to me too right now, and I haven't even said anything to him. So it's just like, you know, I see everything, but I'm just in my lane right now. I'm just focusing on my game. I'm trying to be the best version I could be when I get in there. I'm not really into the back and forth, you know, internet talk right now, especially because we're amateurs. Like, I mean, I guess it'd be good for the K4 promotion, but I mean, who else are we really hyping up this fight? I feel like it's, yeah.
We got pay-per-views to sell.
I got to
hype it up,
yeah.
I got to sell tickets. The 765 got to sell pay-per-views and tickets.
I feel you. But my point is just like, you know, he's talking reckless again. And it's like, at the end of the day, he's the one that's going to have to go out there and face the music and try to back that up again. You know what I'm saying? The pressure's on him. You know, but he's saying crazy stuff like, he's going to take me down the first 30 seconds. He's going to submit me in the first round. And then he goes on your podcast and he says it's not even going to hit the ground. That it's just going to be, we're just going to stand up the whole time and he's going to knock me down because I have no chin. So it's just like, I really don't even think he believes in the stuff that he's saying himself. Like, I feel like he's just trying to be like, I don't know, like a bootleg Conor McGregor in the amateur game right now. That's how I feel about it. But making all these predictions that you can't keep. But I mean, we'll see how it goes.
The thing is like that's gonna make you popular because everyone's gonna want to watch you beat him up. So
100%.
That's awesome for you. Like you can go from beating up a fan favorite to, you know, beating up the guy everyone hates. So that's you're gonna be like that guy. Like man, this guy beats up the good guys and the bad guys. That's a pretty good moniker to have.
Let's go. Hey, I'll take it, and I'll keep coming down there too, man. I mean, I really enjoyed the promotion. I really enjoyed Buffalo itself in the city, like everything you guys did, like you guys showed mad love to us and my team when we came down there. You know, my boy David gonna get that Muay Thai title this fight, you know. So
yeah, he got knocked out of the night last time. Did you see that? Like he got $100 from
yeah. Nah, so, that's a scary dude, man. He deserves it. He deserves all of that. So
that was a scary knockout too. That man went dead. That was nuts. Mason Lewis wants to know, what weight are you and Skyler fighting at?
It's at 155, too. And I know this dude usually fights at 45, right? I'm like a legit 55-pounder. So that's another thing that I it's interesting about this fight, too. Like, why is he going up in weight? Did he put on some size? I don't know.
So to be fair, he hasn't really made 45. He keeps coming overweight. So they might have told him to go up to 55 because he can't.
Okay.
Make 45. Like, he's been coming in overweight. So, like, maybe they want him to go up because he can't make 45, even though he's fighting 45. So,
Nah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Hey, but at the end of the day, like, I have nothing personal against Skyler. You know, I'm saying I understand what he's doing for entertainment. Like, it is what it is. There's no hard feelings. As long as he comes in, he makes weight, and he just shows up ready to fight, he has all the respect from me. So, that's all that matters to me.
I like those guys because they bring a lot of entertainment for me and for Ray and for the K4 crew. They bring a lot of headaches, but they bring a lot of attention, a lot of eyes, and they sell pay-per-views. And, you know, everyone from Richmond watches them because they talk a bunch of shit. And I think more people watch them get beat up than actually root for them to win. But that's what sells tickets. That's what moves the needle for fights. And it's pretty cool to fight a guy like that, especially when they're not ultimately skilled. You know, it's like one thing when you go in there and you fight someone that's super dangerous that talks a lot of shit like Conor McGregor. But it's another one where you go in there and you feel even or even like you're the advantage fighter, you know, like, and they talk all this shit and you can be like, oh yeah, talk now, like Khabib style.
Yeah, 100%. Nah, and that's definitely what, you know, I'm looking good in there to do. But, I mean, you can't underestimate nobody at the end of the day. I mean, he throws crazy shots and, you know what I'm saying? I gotta look better than what I did against Travis. You know, at the end of the day, that performance, that wasn't my best self. I go back and I watch that fight. I give myself like a 4 out of 10. I'm really looking forward to showing K4 and all you guys like a new and improved version of myself overall. So, yeah, I can't wait for this fight, man.
So I watch a lot of fights, from amateurs all the way to the pros, and I commentated a lot of fights. I fought my first time in 1995, and a guy's first fight is really not very representative of their ability, except for like complete psychos that
right, yeah.
like they have no fear of anything because they're not right or they're like they've been in the sport for so long doing other sports. The first time you fight is just it's something different, man, and like. It's really easy to get lost in the lights in like the first 20, 30 seconds where like, oh man, I'm really doing this. And then like I thought you got better as the fight went on. I thought your skill came out more and more. And I really think you probably left a lot in on the floor that we didn't see. Just from can you explain what it's like to someone that hasn't fought the first time you step in that cage? And they say, all right, fight.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It was like I almost say, like, the way I try to describe it to some of my teammates who haven't gotten there yet, it almost felt like an out-of-body experience. Like, I remember when I first stepped into the ring, it's like, because you see the camera crew, and it's like, they're zooming in on the announcer right now, and it's like, I don't know. The ref is, like, over here trying to, like, re-explain, like, the rules and shit to me, but I'm just, like, not even focused on that. Like, I felt like I saw an out of views lens. Like I was watching it on TV as I heard the announcer like introduce us and stuff. It was surreal, honestly. Like especially because y'all have a really good like venue over there in Buffalo. Like there's a lot of people. They're making a lot of noise and yeah, it was crazy, man. Like that was definitely one experience. Like I feel like that sticks with you forever. Your first fight. I don't know if you can speak on that, but.
Yeah, I'll never forget my first fight either. Like, I remember, like, every part of it, walking out, walking in, like, wow, what's going on? There's so many people here. Like, this is great. No, not this many people watch it. I mean, I wrestled in regionals and nationals, and I'm like, there wasn't that many people there, you know. I fought at Memorial Auditorium where they played hockey for my first fight, so it was, like, crazy. It was, like, packed, so it was a little bit different. But, like, still, that was – there's, like, Riverworks is pretty amazing. There's the people up on top, too, so – it just feels like there's so many people in there. It feels like yeah, there's even more people than there is. It's such a cool venue, man. And outside's even better. Hopefully we can get you back in the summertime and have you fight outside. Outside on a hockey rink with the backdrop of the city. Oh, my God. It's like the coolest venue of all time. I will never – I've called so many fights there that, like, even still, every time you start and you look, it's like, damn, I can't believe we're actually doing this, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'd love to be back then for sure.
So you come in from North Carolina, you know, you fight out of Hyacinth Gym. How does all this happen? How did you get hooked up with K4? I kind of know the answer, but why don't you tell us a little bit?
Yeah. So, of course, my head coach, Kevin Ferrant, brother with K4 promoter Keith Ferrant. And it's like, it's crazy because he has made the trip up to Buffalo before with his guys. But it's before the last time he went, I feel like it's been like a couple years, like. So it's been a while since we were up there as a team. But, yeah, we went up there back in March. We brought a couple guys. And this time, I'm not sure how many guys we have in now because one of my teammates, Isaiah, also who was supposed to fight a 7-6-4, whatever their gym is.
7-6-5 guy? Yeah.
Yeah. He pulled out.
That Eurobank guy?
Yeah, he pulled out. So now – one of my teammates don't have a fight, so I think now we're bringing only four up. But we were supposed to have five people. We were supposed to have a big team going up there. So I mean, you know, my coach, you know, he also loves the promotion. He loves the you know the quality that and the stuff that we experience up there. So I feel like, you know, since he does have the relationship with his brother being the promoter, like we're gonna be coming up there a lot as a team throughout the year. So. You know, I mean, I had great, like, my first experience was awesome. So anytime he has a fight for me up there, I'm probably going to be coming too.
I love that too, man. I know you guys came up, for King of the Cage or LFA. I'm not sure which one it was. I forgot what year it was, but you brought up Brian Battle. So you guys have been coming up to Buffalo for a very long time, not just for K4. And, you know, a team that travels that far to fight, you know, everyone on that team is serious. They're not coming to lose. I mean, that's a long ass drive. Like no one's gonna do that. And then just I'm gonna quit. You know, like everyone of you guys is always gonna come out and try and win.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. And like we've been dialed in for this fight camp too, just because I feel like most of us found out about our, like, that we were on the card maybe like farther out than usual, like 6-5 weeks out. So yeah, we all just been dialed in as a team, putting in the work, and yeah, man, I expect great results from all of us. It's going to be a fun show, that's for sure.
Do you think you have a gym advantage over Skyler? I mean, Skyler trains. It looks like he just trains with a bunch of guys that beat each other up, man. I watched it over and over again, and that can give you a certain amount of toughness, but I'm not sure how well that translates to skill acquisition. And yeah, you train under a gym that's produced UFC fighters. So can you explain the difference a little bit to people that don't fight?
Yeah, no disrespect to Skyler Gym or anything like that, but I do feel like my gym is, I mean, it's going to speak for itself. Like, Kevin is, you know, a brown belt under Gokor Chavichian. You know, probably going to get his black belt this year, very close to that. We have lots of high-level grapplers. You know, I'm rolling with brown belts, purple belts all the time. I mean, even in the MMA world, Kevin was like, you know, 8-5 as a pro. I think he went on like on a 5-0 run, like getting like real like high level fights to start off his career. So like he was really successful down here in this region. And you know, yeah, we have a bunch of guys who are you know, our fight team now, like we all have been consistently training together for a couple years now. So we're really just now hitting our stride, and we have a lot of guys come in who are hungry, who want to get on the fight team too. So, I mean, I feel like our gym is a legit, like, you know, gym down here in North Carolina. Not saying that his gym isn't legit. I just, whenever I watch, like, fighters from his gym, I do feel like the technical aspect is lacking. I don't know if they have really any strong, experienced, like, coaches or mentors to really guide them like we do.
All this time I've been watching them, I can't tell if they're joking with their gym footage or if they're serious. Like, are they joking with it, or is this like what they're really doing? And I can't really tell. Like it looks like satire. And I've always thought that maybe it is satire. They're just showing some really bad stuff and they put that up there. And like, this is us. You know, like Jacob hit and miss that one time. Like, I always think that it might always be a joke. And but maybe not, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's tough to tell. I mean, I don't know, where are they from in Indiana? They got like a huge population.
Richmond, Indiana. No, it's not really very populated. It's kind of like a rundown part of the town.
I mean, they probably like, that's probably like the best they got over there. And it's like, they gotta do what they gotta do. They like, you know, I live in Charlotte, so it's one of the bigger cities in the United States. You know, that plays a huge factor on what type of people you can bring in and what type of talent you got over there. So it's like, I mean, yeah,
they have a solid heavyweight. He looked really good. He had wins in K4. Like the rest of the team, like I was a little under them. I thought Zach was gonna be a really good grappler, and he got like put to sleep real quick. And I don't know, like you know, Skyler's like hit or miss, and none of them are real technical. So I was just wondering if I was I know that you have to think they have a gym advantage, so I just wanted to say some shit about it. That's all.
Nah, man, Hyacin, yeah, one of the best gyms in the southeast, in my opinion. So,
yeah. So anyone watching this down by you guys, where are you guys located at? How do you come try out for your team?
Yeah, man. So we're over here, Charlotte, North Carolina, Hyacin MMA, and the way I got into it is crazy because. So I got out the Marine Corps in 2021, and I think that was the same season that Brian Battle was on The Ultimate Fighter. So I just got out, you know, I'm over here, you know, about to enter the workforce again, trying to, you know, I have to start from scratch, basically, you know, when you got the service. And I've always been an MMA fan. I've been watching MMA since I was like eighth grade. Like, I think the first fight I watched was like Rashad Evans head kicking Sean Salmon back in the day. That's like the one fight that sticks out to me. So I'm over here watching The Ultimate Fighter, and I didn't know if there was any gyms like that in Charlotte. I didn't do much research, but then when I saw that he was fighting out of Charlotte, and anyway, he trains at Hyacin, I'm like, wow, like that's right by me. Like, this could be a reality. Like, you know what I'm saying, this is something I wanted to do my whole life, never really got the opportunity, and I just ran with it. I showed up, and you know, just never looked back, just kept training.
How's your relationship with Kevin? You guys, is like, he your main coach? Do you get a lot of time with him? I don't know how big the gym is. Like, sometimes a big gym, you don't even really know, like, the head coach. But how's your relationship? And I love him to death, man. I got some training with him back in the day when he was still fighting. He used to come up here, train with Keith, and we used to train at Victory and stuff. So definitely had some rounds with him. He's a very tough guy, man. And all the success to his gym, I'm proud that you guys are doing it. But what's your relationship with him like?
Yeah, I have a real good relationship with Kevin. I was just at his house yesterday with some of the fight team guys watching UFC. But, like, yeah, we're real close. We're real close gym, man. Like, well, when I first got in, they were going through, like, I don't know if you know about it. It's a long story. But, like, yeah, the gym split, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So that just happened. So I missed all those guys. And so when I first got there, you know, Kevin was, like, really hands-on. He was doing most of the training himself. I mean, now since our gym is getting bigger again and it's starting to expand, you know, we do have, like, a lot of, like, assist. Like, we have, like, a couple Muay Thai coaches. We have a boxing coach. We have, you know, our other, like, assistant coach that comes in a lot. So there's more. He doesn't get to be as hands-on with the training as much anymore. He'll still do jiu-jitsu most of the time himself, but no, me and him have a real good relationship because it's like I was working with him pretty closely from the beginning when I first stepped in there. So yeah, we have a good relationship.
That's awesome, man. It's so important to have that relationship because I know he's the one that comes up and corner you guys. So that's cool. I'm sure he likes to come up and hang out with his brother. I was just hanging out with Keith. We were just watching the fight yesterday too. So what did you think about the fight yesterday?
Oh man, that was a great card, man. Like top to bottom. Man, and it's like, like Sean O'Malley's performance, man. That was honestly, that was inspiring. Like I don't know if I've ever seen someone like on such a technical level, like striking wise, you know, making it look so effortless out there. And just like, you know, I follow a lot of fighters too. Like I like to watch like interviews, getting to know their mindset and stuff like that before fights. And like his mindset, how strong it was before the fight, and just backing everything up and having like a masterclass performance, like that was a great fight, and overall it was a great card in my opinion.
I thought it was an awesome card too. I thought that fight was great. I love to see Peter Yan come back.
Oh yeah,
man, he looked like he was having a rough opening too. He came back. Poirier came back. I thought Poirier was in a whole lot of trouble when he gave up his back, and man, he still got hands. That's so crazy. Poirier is the man, dude. And yeah, like that Curtis Blades stoppage, that was crazy too. Like Curtis Blades got taken down like freaking 11 times. He's like, "No, you will not beat me." Hammer fist him to death, dude.
Yeah, so that was crazy. Wild.
What did you think about the Venom Page fight and Holland?
That was a great fight too, in my opinion. You know, I think MVP can make a lot of noise in the UFC. You know, they have to give him the right opponents. I do feel like someone maybe like a Sean Brady or like someone like that could give him trouble if they get to the ground, but there's a lot of fun matchups for him. I would like to see him fight Wonderboy next. I feel like that would be
perfect. We were just talking about the same thing. Him and Wonderboy would make a perfect stylistic matchup. That'd be crazy.
Perfect.
Hopping in and out, dude, it'd be nuts.
Yeah.
Hopefully Wonderboy's not. They're both kind of older, though, so it kind of works out pretty good.
Right.
A lot of people I talked to them weren't very sold on Michael Venom Page after watching him fight. Like I talked to some guys at the gym today and like some other people and it's like, oh man, I don't know about him. Like I heard he's like the next best thing. And dude, I thought he had a good performance. Kevin Holland's hard to fight, man.
Yeah. No, I was talking about this with like my coach and my teammates. And I was saying like, I would hate to fight somebody like that with that style, because it's like you're chasing them down the whole time. You're trying to cut them off. And every time you get close, he just darts in, he hits you with, you know, a 1-2 or some crazy combo, and it's going to be hard to take him to the, like once you grab a hold of him, maybe you're good. But yeah, that would be an annoying style to fight. I think he's going to have a lot of success in the UFC. For I mean he is older now. Is he like 36? So maybe he doesn't have too many years left, but I mean I'm just hoping he gives us some fun fights like Chandler did when he came over.
Yeah, dude, he's got some great tie sweeps too. Like they're so effortless, people just fall down because he trips up their legs. I thought that was awesome to see. What do you think at the end? Do you think that O'Malley was hurt? Or do you think he just like crumpled down because like the fight was over? That looked like a really good body shot right at the end there.
Nah, he was definitely feeling something. You could tell on his face when he took that knee. He was holding on for a little bit. You see Chito try to dap him up, and he's just like, all right, I got you. 1 second, man. Like, nah, he was definitely hurting from that. I did look like a good body shot. But, man, I just wish Chito fought like he did in round four from the start. I think he has the gas tank and toughness to do it too. But you know how he likes to start off slow and stuff. But I feel like if he just would have brought it from the very beginning – I don't know. Maybe he could have made like a closer fight, but he just let Sean get way too much momentum and getting that flow way too early. So
yeah, I think if you let a guy like, there's certain guys, everyone fights a little bit different. Some guys are choppy, some guys have flow. O'Malley has flow. If he finds that flow, man, it's gonna be a long night for you. So you gotta like come out the gate at him. You gotta make it shitty for him. And if you don't, he's gonna make you look real bad. Like I truly did not know how skilled he was until I watched that fight. I thought Chito was going to give him some trouble, and like it was effortless almost.
100%. No, O'Malley, he still looks like he's getting better and better each fight. Like every time I watch him, he looks like he's still improving, which is crazy. So it's like his potential is ridiculous. Like I'm really curious to see how many times he defends that title. Like.
Me too. I thought it was not going to be that long of a title reign, but I changed my mind watching that fight, to be honest with you. Like I was like, oh, Sugar Sean, he like hurts his legs every time he kicks someone. How long can he be champ for, you know? And like he just showed last night he can be champ for a very, very long time. Did you think that card was better than UFC 300, the lineup for UFC 300?
I still think, you know, top to bottom – I mean, UFC 300 is stacked. Like, if it can live up, like, I think the first, like, what's the first fight? I think it's, like, Andrade or something. Like, they have, like, former champions on the early prelims. Like, top to bottom, like, that card, I think, is more stacked. But, UFC 299, I think I was
– Isn't it Gambrell and Figueiredo or something like that for the opening fight?
Yeah, they're early, too. Like, yeah, they have a lot. Like, I think top to bottom 300 is better, but – you know, we got to see how it performs. A lot of times a card's going to look like really good on paper, and then the fights are just like, it's not as good. This one had the high profile fights, and I mean, they all performed. Like, to me, that card like was great overall.
Yeah, so. I'm still not sold on Hill and Pereira. I think Pereira's just going to knock him out.
Yeah, I got Pereira too in that one for sure. I'm actually a huge Alex Pereira fan. I don't know, it's on my advice, but I mean, I can't count Jamal Hill out just because the way he did Glover was dirty. And after him and after Glover and Yuri had a really close fight too until the very end. So it's like, I don't know. We'll see how he comes back after that injury. But I do got Pereira in that one too.
Yeah, it's tough to come back. And then you're going to have that jitters and you're like coming back from hurt. You've been off a long time. And then you got to fight Pereira. It's like one of the best kickboxers ever, dude. He's going to read you quick. It's not going to take him long to find out what you're doing.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a little bit under, like, not perfect when you're fighting him. And it's tough because they don't give these big-name UFC guys, like, a welcome-back fight. Like, you're thrown right back into the mix. All right, you're fighting for the title again. I know you want it. Here you go. Go do it. We need someone for 300. I would have rather seen John Jones and Stipe or something, though.
Yeah. I'm trying to see Jones versus Aspinall, though. Like I
don't think he's going to do that, dude. There's no steps for him to. Like, why would he do that? That's a crazy fight. That's a huge risk.
I know it's a huge risk. That's why he's not going to do it. But it's just like, I feel like with the Stipe fight, it's like, all right, we know what's going to happen there. It's still a good legacy fight, but we know what's going to happen. But Aspinall, though, like, there's going to be a lot of people putting their money on Aspinall to, like, really give Jones his, like, first legit loss. So it's like.
It might be the first time he'd be an underdog.
Yeah, I could see that.
Underdog. I mean, at least since he's been the champ. I'm sure he was underdog when he fought Rampage.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I could definitely see the odds definitely being Aspinall's a freak, man. Like,
it's hard to bet against John Jones, though, dude. Like, he's probably the best ever.
100%, yeah.
I mean, as long as you discount, like, being a bad person, he's the best fighter ever. Like, you can't make an argument. Like, Habib is, like, undefeated, but, like, he didn't fight Jones, fought all champions, you know? Like, guys fighting for
title. Yeah.
He beat both generations. Like, it's tough.
Yeah, man, Habib, his career was too short. I mean, I understand he's one of the greats too, but, you know, the fact of the matter is he left the game too early. He doesn't have the title defenses or the resume that Jones, like, I don't know if anyone's going to surpass Jones. Not for a while, at least. Like, his resume is crazy.
I got like a couple more UFC questions I want to get back to. What do you think about Holloway and Gaethje?
Oh, if I'm picking someone right now, I love Max Holloway, but I gotta go with Gaethje. I mean, he looked super impressive off that Dustin Poirier fight, and I mean, the last time we did see Max go up, it didn't look good for him against Poirier. So, like, that was a brutal fight. So, if I had to put my money on it, I'm going with Justin Gaethje. But I love Max, so I'd be. I just hope it's a war, a back and forth war, which I'm pretty sure we'll get.
If I was Holloway, I'd be like, oh man, I'm not feeling well. Now the Volk's out, let me get another shot at my title, you know, like.
Right. Yeah.
Volk's gone right now. He's got that shot, and he might get changed by Gaethje, dude. Like Gaethje, like ends careers. He's
Yep.
Man, this is a tough fight, and he's so much smaller. Gaethje's big for 55.
Yep.
He's probably way bigger than you, and you're a big dude too.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I already know when I reach that, when I turn pro, I might, all right, time to get serious, time to go down to 45. But I can't even think about making that weight cut now. I can't imagine like how their weight cuts go. But
yeah, so yeah. I don't know if you know Pat Mick. So he fights in Bellator. He's the champ. He's a 35er dude, and he walks around bigger than me. Right now, I'm like I think I'm like 167, 168. Dude, he walk around like somewhere between 65 and 69 for 35, dude. He's so big. He's not fat either. Like, he's got abs at that weight. Like, it's crazy like, how small they get, dude. Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, that's insane. Yep. That's, like, the range that I see, like, a lot of pros do. They'll do, like, that. They'll walk around, like, that 30 pounds heavier, like, lean, like, make that cut still. So, for me, that would be, like, going down to 45 because I'm, like, 178 lean, so I know it's gonna happen eventually, but I'm not looking forward to that day.
Yeah, that's a shitty cut, but I mean, the problem is everyone else does it, so then you got to do it. You know what I mean? Like, if everyone, it's all got to be the same. So if they do hydration testing or something, it works out great. But if not, then like you got to cut. Some of it is like how well you deal with the cut and then fight the next day too. That's a huge advantage sometimes. Patsy is a dog. He'll beat O'Malley. Wait. Yeah, until that O'Malley fight, I thought Pat would mollywop him. Now I think Pat had some trouble. Pat's so long, though. He'd probably be able to close the distance to get his hands on O'Malley. I think if he gets his hands on him, he finishes him in the first round. But if he doesn't, man, this is going to be a long, long, rough fight. So I would love to see it, though. That's my
opinion. Yeah, that'd be a great fight, 100%.
Yeah, his grappling is top. He's the best 35er in the world, for sure, grappling. Like, prime submission grappling too. So let's take it through a week of training camp for you. What does your week's training look like? How many hours do you work your regular job? How often do you work? And then what do you do like in camp itself, like when you're training in the gym, like as far as skill-wise based training? And then what do you do like lifting and cardio-wise?
Yeah, so basically, my schedule for training is I'll go train from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday. Friday, I do strength and conditioning, so I'll be at the gym lifting and running, maybe a little sauna here and there. I'll do that another 3 hours. And then Saturday is the big one. That's where I show up at 11. I do all classes. I do the conditioning, the striking, the grappling, then I do fighting for 2 hours, and then we hit fight sim now that we're in fight camp. So that's like a 5-6 hour day right there. Was it like 11 to 4? No, about a 5 hour day right there. So I think in total I get about between 20 to 25 hours training per week, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, right now it's crazy because since I got out of the military, I never really had like a stable career. I've been bouncing around job to job. I worked at some family restaurants for a little bit. I did. I went back to college for a little bit. Didn't want to do that anymore. Yeah,
no.
that was a bad idea. And then I recently got my personal training certification. Did some training at some gyms here and there. And then crazy, the past couple months I've been unemployed. Honestly, so it's like all my time has been focusing on training, rest, recovery. I train 7 days a week, about at least 3 hours a day on average. So I try to get in between like 20-25 hours of training a day or plus a week.
A day, that man, you get $25 a day, you'd be coming forever.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty good though. If you're doing like 3 hours a day and then you're doing a 5 hour Saturday, that's a tough week, man.
Yeah, no, it's brutal, but it's like, man, I'm so competitive, man. Like, I gotta make sure, like, the only way for me to feel comfortable during a fight, like, for me to, like, get the jitters out or, like, just be real confident is I gotta know I'm working harder than my opponent. You know, I don't know what Skyler's doing over there, what his training's like, how hard he works, but I wanna make sure that no matter what he's doing, he's not doing more than me. So that's just my mindset when it comes to that stuff.
I hear you. Jared Joseph posted that post-military is rough until you find your spot.
He's 100%.
Yeah, he's one of my students. He's a Marine. He had the same thing. He found a spot though. Anthony Mixon agreed. Do you know, have you seen Mixon fight?
I feel like he was on the last card with me. I think. Is his fight the one that there was like a nut shot or something and they stopped it?
Is that him? I think that happened. I can't remember if that was Mixon or not, or that was the co-main, right? That was I don't remember if it was a nut shot or the knee to the head after the bell. One of those two. I forgot which fight was which now, but one of those two fights, yeah. And then he's fighting on this card too. He's fighting Kung Fu Guy. Yeah, in December.
Okay. Yeah. No, I remember. Yeah. No, he looks nice out there. You doing MMA or are you doing sticking with Muay Thai?
Yeah, he's doing MMA this time. It's an MMA fight. I'm excited to see him, man. Like, I don't know if it's his debut or not, but it's his debut in K4. So it's the first time I'm calling one of his MMA fights. And dude, his striking has been crisp.
Let's go. Yeah.
Grappling too. I know. I've seen him do grappling. I haven't actually seen him grapple. I've seen him at the classic. I've seen him in his gi. I've seen his belt. Like, I look him all happy. Seen him with his medals, but I didn't get to see any of his matches, so I don't really know. I don't know how his grappling goes. So, like, I can't wait to. I can't wait to see the whole fight, man. I'm excited. It's always exciting when one of the guys have been in for a long time goes back and does a different spot of sport. You know, like Sexual Chocolate did kickboxing, and now he's coming over and he's doing MMA. Like, it's so cool to watch guys like try something they're not the best at, but maybe mixing even better at MMA, and we'll find out.
Oh yeah, no, he got hands though for sure. He looked good in that fight till he got stopped. So I mean,
yeah.
Shout out to you, bro. Best of luck in your fight.
Do you think you're gonna do any kind of kickboxing, or are you gonna be all strictly MMA?
I don't know, bro. In my opinion, I'm just an MMA fighter. You know, I got into, like, so I wrestled in high school. I already had a grappling background going into it. I mean, I'm trying to be as well rounded as possible. So this fight camp's been really striking. Focus like heavy on my part, try to balance it out, but I consider myself a grappler foremost, and you know, I got into the sport kind of late. I'm already 28, so it's just like I'm trying to build that amateur record. I want to get I want to fight a lot of tough people on the amateur scene as fast as possible, hopefully in the next couple of years, fight for a title so I can get that 5-round experience, and then I'm looking to go pro like early 30s. So for me, it's just like I wouldn't be opposed to it if it fits in with my schedule, but I want to be fighting MMA at least every 3 to 4 months. Like, that's my goal personally, as long as I stay healthy.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Hopefully the brothers can get a card up down there and we can come down and watch you fight in your hometown too. I think
that would be 100%. Cool. 100%, yeah.
Yeah, keep whispering in their ears to put a North Carolina card on. K4 fighting. K4 Out of Lux is Saturday, March 16th. Make sure you guys check it out. If you're buying tickets, you can buy tickets online right now. And when you buy your tickets, make sure that you put in promo code K4Cheek. That will give our buddy Zach here credit for the tickets. You can hear from his lack of a job that he could always use all the extra money that you can get from selling tickets. Yes, so you can put in K4. When you buy your tickets, put in promo code K4Cheek. You have to go to the checkout part, and then there's a area where you can click for promo code and then put in K4Cheek. And if you, for some reason, don't like Zach, you can put in K4 Caveman's Corner, spelled out right here, and we will give money for that, and then we will give it back to the fighters. Everything we bring in, 100% of profits, guarantee will all go back to the fighters. So any ticket you buy through Caveman's Corner, 100% of it goes back to the fighters. In fact, one of your teammates won Knockout of the Night last time you guys were up.
Yes, sir. Big Dave over there. He's about to put on a show again for sure.
Yeah, so you guys, you know, like, we come through with the money. We always pay out. And we're going to award $100 Knockout of the Night, $100 Submission of the Night, and the two guys for Fighting Night both get $100. And then anything else we bring in, we'll give that away too. Last time I was able to give away another couple hundred dollars. It worked out pretty well. I can't promise it every time. All of the money comes out of my pocket, so I got to save for all the cards. It takes a while.
No, 100%. Hey, no, that Knockout Submission Night, that stuff comes in clutch. Definitely gives people some extra motivation. So I love what you guys are doing with that for sure.
Yeah, I always thought it was so cool. Keith brought me in to help the show, and I was like, man, we should just get money away. People want to come fight, like, because then they want to get bonuses. And, like, people like it, and they come on the podcast. So that helps me just from, like, having people on the podcast and hopefully helps people want to fight for K4 and get bonuses.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. Love what you guys are doing over there, man. And, you know, I appreciate for you having me on, everything like that, for sure. You know, you run a great podcast over here. I'm a fan of your work. I'll be checking it out sometimes. So. It's cool. It's cool to get on, man. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate having you on. I wish I could have got all you guys on. It's like, it's so busy this time of year, and we'll get around to everybody. I gotta get your teammate on when he's champ.
Oh yeah.
A little bit scared of him. I'd rather do it on video here than like in person. It's a little bit scary.
No, it's crazy because David's like, he's literally like one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet too. Like, he's one of the most like supportive, like positive people in the gym. He just, you know, he just happens to punch really hard. That's like the only thing to him. But no, nah, he's a good dude.
He was so scary. Like, he had his hands wrapped, no shirt on. He's just standing there for like an hour, man. I was like, damn.
No, he's intense, man. Like, even like, you know, at the weigh-in, man, when he's dehydrated and he's pissed off, he's just staring straight forward, not talking to anybody. But when he's not in the zone like that, like I said, one of the nicest people ever.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I can't wait to see it. You got anyone else you got to shout out? Any sponsors, anything like that?
No, I don't got no sponsors, but I just want to shout out, you know, my team, Highest on MMA. All my teammates that are going up to fight, Tyler Kirkpatrick, David Harrison, myself, Isaiah Bowling, and Isaiah was supposed to fight. He's been a huge part of this camp too. My coaches, Kevin Ferrant and Tony Tan, man. Like, hey, let's go. We put in that work, and we're about to see the results. Tyson coming to Buffalo, and we're about to show out for sure.
Awesome, man. I can't wait to see you guys. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate you, and I hope you have a good night, and I will see you in the cage in exactly 6 days, right? What is it today? Sunday? Monday, Tuesday, yep. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 6 days. I will not be at the weigh-in, so I'll see you in 6 days.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you.
With that, Caveman Corner is out. Remember, if you guys are watching on YouTube, please click like and subscribe and the bell, so then, you know, it's easier for us to make some money. Peace out, guys.